You focus a lot on how you architect that process and the design of that process, and the machine should be there to reduce risk of that process. But certain processes do require the art of the sale, right? The artist to implement their personality in that process. Some processes, like you want to McDonald's it, and it's like, this is the way that we flip the burger. This is the way that we make, we push the button to log the activity, right? Would be the equivalent in our world. And so I think leveraging AI as a starting point to just automate those moments where it's like, I just want to reduce the risk of human error of like this data entry, because it doesn't require the artistic side of thought, right? This is like,
everybody, welcome back to the RevAmp podcast. I am really excited today. We're joined by Colin Spector. Really excited to hear about what he has to say. We're going to talk a little bit about his recent sales kickoff that he did. And Colin and I got to chat recently at a dinner in New York, and just really found a lot of what he said just super fascinating. So I'm really excited. And Colin, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about your background, what you're doing today, that kind of thing.
yeah, Mark, th thanks so much for having me on the show. Pleasure to be here. Really excited to get to jam with you today, share any insights that I can. And my background, so today I'm head of sales, VP of sales for Aurum. Aurum is what we call an alive conversation platform. It's the smartest way for a salesperson to make a call today. And we could talk more about that a bit later. But prior to Aurum, and I've been with Aurum going on 5 years almost now. Prior to Aurum, I was an early sales hire at Namely, and rode the wave at Namely from Series Seed to Series D, and building out different verticals of that business and different owned different regions. And so have been really a builder type of sales leader throughout my career, typically early stage, and taking these early stage companies from really seed kind of stage to more of a matured revenue engine. So that's really been my background. I've done some consulting here and there in between. And but prior to that, prior to getting into tech SaaS sales and sales leadership, I did a little bit of like medical device kind of startups, and but mostly been in tech SaaS sales as my career the last, it's been I don't know, probably a decade now. So but yeah, excited to be here and dive deeper on the topics today, Mark.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for that. And I think back when we had that dinner, one of the things that really seemed to be kind of universal around the table was, some of the challenges and just kind of observations about this kind of whipsaw we saw where, there was obviously COVID hit, world shut down, everything changed, right? We all kind of, I think, initially thought, okay, well, are we going to survive this both financially and some of us, physically? I think, obviously in the tech space, we had this effect of, huge investments on SaaS tools because other companies went remote and there was a lot of low interest money floating around. And so there was a lot of benefit, a lot of hiring. We moved out of COVID and that kind of shifted the other way. And also in between that, we had the, the kind of emergence of everybody having their own AI co-pilot basically, and all the kind of changes that brought. So everyone was kind of still feeling like, the ground under us is still shifting. And, I noticed that you all at Aurum, and you kind of, it seemed like you had a big part of it, did a sales kickoff and a big splash about it recently. And so I was really fascinated to kind of your thinking about, kicking off a new fiscal year, fiscal quarter, under these kind of circumstances where it's really we're really uncertain, like what's the quarter from now going to be like? What's a year from now going to be like? Everything's kind of changing. And so kind of wanted to hear what that was like and your prep for it and your mindset going into it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Mark. Yeah, I think, look, there's been no shortage of kind of change and noise and evolution in the market and within our kind of sphere and business and world that we've all been living in the last, yeah, really last like 5 years or so. It's been pretty wild. So I mean, this sales kickoff, we went in with a lot more around like the psychology and mindset around the fact that you get to sell. It's not that I have to sell, it's that you get to sell. And we came out with this kind of call to action that's like, sell yeah. Like instead of like, hell yeah, we say sell yeah, I get to sell. And so we did a lot of like branding and a big splash around that. And so a lot of the themes and topics of this kickoff was just around controlling the controllables, and that really starts with yourself and your mindset and your own personal psychology. And no matter the noise and change going on around you, kind of grounding yourself and centering yourself and taking care of yourself as the most important product starting with that mindset as a sales professional that you do get to sell, you get to sell, and you get to represent market leading technologies and a great business that you're value aligned with and that you know is value aligned with a great percentage of the market out there, and you get to represent that. And so I think with all the change and evolution and everything that's going on with AI and all these new shiny objects kind of popping up every day, getting back to the fundamentals, getting back to the basics of human psychology and like the core principles around selling, and within that, like people still want to do business with people, with other people that they're value aligned with, that they get a connection with, that you have that spark, you have that trust, you because at the end of the day, with so many technologies out there, a lot of folks are going to be able to do the same thing or similar things. You know, one competitor might come out with a new feature, and then 2 weeks later, the next competitor comes out with the same feature or a new spin on it. And what are some of the kind of immutable things that don't change in business? And that's the people that you actually do business with, the people that will support you, the people that you'll be aligned with, you know, through the kind of ebbs and flows of this tech wave. And so we did a lot of around grounding our people back into those kind of guiding principles of the way we sell and how we sell and who we are and how we represent ourselves out in the market. Of course, you know, we still wrapped in product training, competition training, and market training, but it's, you know, those like software changes all the time and things evolve all the time, but what doesn't change, right? And so that really led into kind of the themes and tracks we took people down this kickoff.
That's awesome. You know, what comes in my head is like, what's old is new again, right? Like, there's so much focus on, you know, tools and technology and processes and efficiency that I think a lot of people, and myself included, have lost track of the individuals that are doing the work, right? Where sometimes we think of them as just kind of, you know, input output machines. And the idea of kind of getting back to them being humans, and that's a, you know, that's the one thing we still have going for us against, you know, with the emergence of more and more powerful AI tools. Did you see, and I'm not saying in your organization, but maybe kind of broadly, people kind of moving away from that and that the need to actually recenter that? Is that something that you've kind of noticed?
Yeah, I certainly think there's been this kind of, you know, whiplash of just a flooding of technology and trying to automate and do more with less. And like you got to kind of filter through all that noise and really get back to like, what are we, you know, we're in business, you know, like you go into business to make money, but how do you make money? How do you build a great company? And you build up great people, and great people will take care of the business and they'll take care of the customers, right? And so bringing folks back to just those fundamentals, those realities, has been a core focus of ours. And even just the way we present our product, our whole thing, our whole mission at Aurum, and what's been my own guiding principle is to empower people to do more, right? And we sell a phone system for sales teams, and so we're there to empower salespeople to do more specifically, right? And I think any good leader, like you want to help your people achieve more than they could otherwise do on their own, right? You're here to develop, coach them, push them to limits that they couldn't really get to just on their own without a coach, without you leading them, without you guiding them. And so that's been our driving kind of force here. And so, yeah, it's in a very noisy market where people are trying to figure out how to navigate AI, and many people have an initiative to figure out how to adopt AI safely and effectively. We're bringing people back to, basic fundamentals, almost like while everyone's going digital, we're going analog, in a way. But we're still the, because we are an AI company already. So for us, it's like we're taking an analog approach to sales, back, just really bringing it back to basics, in order to bring you that digital transformation. So
When everybody zigs, you gotta zag, right? I mean,
that's it.
that's how you do it.
Yeah.
It's super fascinating, right? Because I think a lot of the disruption, at least today, that people are seeing is the emergence of AI. And I think people still trying to figure out its real use case, right? I think from when ChatGPT, burst out onto the scene a little bit over a year and a half ago, I think we were all kind of blown away, and there was a lot of hype. I think much of what we've seen as a result has been kind of parlor tricks or toy. You know what I mean? Like, the actual scalable use case, in some for some of the kind of hot, more lofty promises that we've heard, I think have yet to fully emerge. From as a sales leader, besides, obviously your own product, and we can talk a little bit about that, how do you empower sales reps to use technologies like that, but also have some sort of guardrails so that they don't kind of have some of the, messy stories that we've seen about, some chatbot with an airline kind of gave somebody a $1 airline ticket, and they were forced to some Supreme Court in Canada required that the company adhere to that $1 thing, even though their AI went off. So things like that. How do you ensure that they have the tools, but also the guardrails to make sure that it doesn't kind of go off the rails?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think, yeah. Well, I think like any good process, you focus a lot on how you architect that process and the design of that process, and the machine should be there to reduce risk of that process. But certain processes do require the art of the sale, right? The artist to implement their personality in that process. Some processes, like you want to McDonald's it, and it's like, this is the way that we flip the burger. This is the way that we make, we push the button to log the activity, right? Would be the equivalent in our world. And so I think leveraging AI as a starting point to just automate those moments where it's like, I just want to reduce the risk of human error of like this data entry. Because it doesn't require the artistic side of thought, right? This is like, in order for me to scale sales beyond this kind of artisanal level, right? Like, I think going from like 1 to 10 million is more artisanal. And then you want to go from like, 10 to 30, 30, 50, 50, 100 plus. You have to process and really productize your revenue engine. And so, that's where AI can really, really come in to help reduce risk within your processes, but that starts with a great process design. I think that must come first before the AI, and you have to figure out, well, where within our kind of buying motion and selling motion do we want to reduce risk, or just ensure we've kind of removed the rep's thought. Like the rep shouldn't have to think about doing these activities, and most of those activities are park under the old kind of adage that like your base salary is for these administrative tasks, and your variable salary is like for you is like the seller closing business and all the other great things that come with that. And so like all those tasks that we historically have parked under the base salary of the rep, the more administrative kind of CRM data entry, the forecasting, the logging of the calls, and there's a whole list there that could come up, even like adding people to a sequence or a sales campaign. Those kind of things, what elements of that, like, can we even empower the rep to find, help us find automations, right? We have our RevOps team, we have us, we're all seeing and hearing things as this market's evolving. So just in terms of guardrails, I think that's more where, like, I really want to automate as much as I can on the administrative side, so that my reps can be more of the artists and focus in on what's in their control, and that's their variable, kind of incentive plan and achieving goals and closing more revenue. So I hope that paints a picture just the way I'm thinking about it and the way we've been thinking about it here at Orem.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we're all trying to kind of figure our way through this. I think, you're in a very unique position because it probably is, I don't know how long, Orem's had AI kind of built into the product or if it was always like that, but it probably becomes easier to explain it or sell it now that we've all kind of been primed for the AI emergence. And so you're kind of benefiting from that. But we kind of started about talking about it's really hard to project what's going to be a quarter from now, a year from now. How do you incorporate that kind of potential unknowns into your planning? If you plan a year, a quarter, 2 years ahead, how do you incorporate the idea that we may have another black swan or another thing that comes up that everybody needs to drop everything? How does that come into your planning in terms of leading your sales team?
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, I mean, we I you know we you always have to build some buffer into your plan. So if I think about planning in the sense of like the sales plan and forecasting the revenue and the cash for the business, I always need to build in a buffer in my plan, and that buffer should include even just human kind of events. Like a black swan event could be like one of my reps gets, something happens and they can't contribute to the quota anymore, right? And like whether good or bad or whatever. So I always build buffers in. The question is, do I have enough buffer built in that protects the business and protects my team and my people and my board and everyone. And so I just from a planning perspective, we always have some sort of buffer built into our sales plan to account for as much as we can. I mean, you also need to yeah, it's a balancing act there. I don't have like a silver bullet into like the perfect way to do that. But I like, for example, from a financial perspective, like we always give ourselves at least a 20% buffer against like what we actually like commit to with like a forecast, let's say, or for planning purposes. We always give ourselves a 20% buffer. And lo and behold, like it tends to hold true because throughout the year, you have reps that get promoted or attrition happens or like something changes in your demand generation engine that could be black swan related or just something happens. And that 20% tends to shake out like consistently for us anyways. And that was something in our space that I've seen. And so is it like, because we said it that way, it shakes out that way, or this is just the reality of the market and what you should do? I don't know, but for us, it's been kind of a good rule of thumb, at least, in terms of forecasting cash and sales and everything. So.
It's interesting. Yeah, I wonder if there's like that there's like a hard and fast rule, like the 80-20 kind of thing, or if it's just, the way it is.
Right.
You don't want to test it, right? If it's working, it's working.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, given Orem as a product and what you all do, I think that the individual, ICs, the individual contributors, whether they're sales or some other team, especially in go-to-market, there's probably concern like, oh, as we add these AI tools, like where does my individual skill or uniqueness come into play? And I assume that a lot of what you talk about is really kind of especially the way your SKO was structured, that like centering the human element while providing AI with those other things that are kind of menial. So how do you view this future world in which AI is going to kind of allow us to be more productive, whilst like letting us shine as individuals?
Yeah, I mean that's exactly what we're focused on, and we've been an AI company since day one, and our whole thing is we want your salespeople focused on the people elements of selling, right? And that's what we call live conversations. And so that's why we say a live conversation platform, because our whole goal is to empower your team to get into more live conversations and have more impact with those conversations. And so we have a whole kind of wider array of features that we have developed, and in order to help your people get into those conversations and then support while they're on those conversations, that still allows them to shine through as the sales professional or that revenue professional. So that's been our focus and still is. And because, again, like the manual kind of data entry, the manual, even like email writing, you could argue, these days there's so many AI email writers, but there's something really unique about the human being and having a conversation that's like in sync live. Like you and I are in a live jam right now, and we're having to think on our feet, you know, about a question and a response to that question. And if you think about a typical phone call, especially if you're talking about a cold call where you're catching somebody, you know, kind of out of the blue, they need to think about, like, they're in fight or flight mode. And so you as the rep need to be enabled to kind of reduce uncertainty and anxiety for that person, and then think on your feet as you receive messages, you know, from that person. So you're in this like real-time communication cycle, which is very human. And the kind of, if you think about like text-based async communication, where I send you a text, you can read it, you get, you know, maybe a day to think about it before you reply, right? People don't reply to text right away anymore. And some people never reply. You know, it's a different level of communication. And for that, like an AI can even process these days, right? That's why you're hearing about chatbots and email writers. It's much easier to do that. And so as a human being, like this real-time psychology and communication, written and nonverbal and verbal, that we interact with through voice tone and body language, all of that is, I'd say, unique to humans, and an area that I think AI is still very, very far from, you know, from ever kind of even replacing or anything like that. And there are also many laws preventing, you know, an AI from speaking live to a human, in this kind of capacity, especially in a phone call. There are many, many regulations around that. So that's, yeah, I mean, just, you know, aside from like the regulations, I still think the most human element here is the connection. And it's like building that trust. It's having the conversations. It's like, all right, is this a person and thus a business that I'm value aligned with? And have we done a great job communicating those values and connecting on those values and really understanding one another to go solve some big problems together? I think like these elements are very difficult and far from being replaced or kind of at risk with an AI.
Yeah, and I can speak to that because, you know, I've on my end have attempted to kind of build internal email writing AI stuff, and it, you know, there are tells in the way AI writes that are, I can't even articulate what they are, but I can immediately see them, and I think a lot of people can too. And to like prompt those out is incredibly difficult. I have yet to like it's made me realize a lot and appreciate that humans are unique, complicated, flawed, but uniquely flawed creatures that it's very hard to mimic, at least the way things are now. Like we are actually special snowflakes. So, you know, as we wrap things up, you know, if there was like kind of one message that you know, gave at the kickoff that you want to kind of maybe echo here about, you know, this concept of, you know, the human approach being important, you know, what would it be? How would you kind of summarize that?
Yeah, I gave this speech. It was inspired by you know, Z Zig Ziglar. And he's got this great speech called "I'm a Salesperson," and our whole SCO was around kind of reinvigorating that, and that it has always taken a salesperson to drive the economy and to drive new products and new ideas to come to fruition. And so through that inspiration from Zig Ziglar, right, like just a couple examples that I used in that speech to like drive this home. Was even Thomas Edison, right? Great inventor. When he invented the electric light bulb, he had to provide free trials in multiple office buildings and places before anybody would even take him seriously, right? So it's like he had to go through a sales motion and offer a free pilot and do a technical validation before it was taken seriously. The first sewing machine that was ever invented was smashed to pieces by a Boston mob, right? A sewing machine, because people were threatened by this new innovation and new technology. There was another one, and I think Zig Ziglar uses the same example that I brought forward, but people thought that if you traveled over 30 miles per hour, your blood would stop, right? The circulation in your blood would stop, right? And so it took salespeople, sales professionals representing these new technologies to drive change and reduce uncertainty and evangelize these in the market. And it's been the same for us with representing Aurum, right? Like, I know there's PLG and all that, but really it does take a salesperson to drive new products innovation in the space. And so centering folks back around that concept and back around psychology and starting with yourself and taking care of yourself so you can show up for your customers and be the best, that was really our theme and really what we drove home here.
Thank you so much. Before we go, if you want, you can tell the folks at home where they could read more about Aurum or you or anything like that.
I'm very active on LinkedIn, so please give me a follow or a connection request on LinkedIn. Again, Colin Spector, and then Aurum. Aurum is the smartest way to make a phone call today. If you have a sales team that is using the phone, we have a free trial. You get up to 500 calls per rep. You can go to Aurum, Aurum as in mother.com, and there's a trial sign up link there if you're interested. Mark, this was awesome. Thanks so much for having me on the show today, and ho hope this was a insightful conversation for the audience here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.